For many of us, maybe the gifts have been exchanged. Food has been eaten, as Brad was bringing to my attention. New toys, maybe even at this point, have already been broken or lost. We had a situation at our house hours after some gifts had been opened. It was a small helicopter, kind of like a miniature, whatever, drone. Yeah, basically. And Trey decided it would be a good idea to not just fly it in the house, to take it outside, which sounds like a good idea, but at some point my kids can take whatever sounds like a good idea and put their own twist on it. And my aunt comes back in and Trey comes back in and he said, "I lost the helicopter." I said, "You lost the helicopter? Where did it go?" And she said, "Well, I kept telling him, Trey, that you probably need to take that inside. Trey, that's not really a good idea." As he's walking towards the field, like a 5-acre unmowed field with trees, walking towards this big dirt pile that they play on, saying, "Trey, that's probably not a good idea. Trey, that's probably not a good idea." And then he turns around and he said, "Lost it." So we got to go out to find a 3-inch helicopter in a 5-acre unmowed field. Luckily, he was standing on the hill, and he had a little bit, at least, of a sense of direction. But I'm convinced that Jesus guided me to that, because instant before I was ready to give up and everybody had turned their back walking back into the house, I saw it. And so we saved and reiterated, let's just play with this inside. But maybe things have been lost. Maybe things have been broken. It's just things. But we had a time with family. And so today, being this day after Christmas, we can't help but revisit that story, right, one last time in Luke 2. And so we're going to rewind, although just a day out. We're going to be in Luke 2, the first 20 verses or so. And it's a short study, so hold your applause. It has a very big assignment attached to it if we look at this and understand what's going on. And then something that struck me as I was reading through and studying through these passages. But I'm going to read. If you're able, I'd love for you to stand as we read God's Word. But we're going to read Luke 2. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord, our scripture. I'm sure that passage or a form of that of those scriptures have been read for years before us and throughout our community in the last week and for years to come. The birth of Jesus drew Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Augustus Caesar was ruling, but God was in charge. He used Caesar's edict to move Mary and Joseph 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem to fulfill his word. Rome took a census every 14 years for military and tax purposes, and each Jewish male had to return to the city of his fathers to record his name, occupation, property, family, that type of thing. In Luke 1:38, when Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word," it meant that from then on, her life would be a part of the fulfillment of divine prophecy. In Genesis 3, Hebrews 2, God had promised that the Savior would be a human, not an angel. In Genesis and Numbers, a Jew, not a Gentile. He would be from the tribe of Judah, we see in Genesis 49, and the family of David, 2 Samuel tells us. Born of a virgin in Bethlehem, the city of David. And all this occurred just as the scriptures had said. The journey, at the very least, had to be trying for both of them. But specifically Mary, I get this feeling that she rejoiced in doing the will of God, having an understanding of what she was being called to. And may not fully understanding it, but we're told in Scripture that Mary wrapped, and many of the mothers we know in that day would wrap the baby in these strips of cloth, his swaddling cloths, and they would do it for protection and to help protect and strengthen the limbs. And as I was reading through this, I thought it interesting, and I'm not the first to see this and point it out. It's interesting that Jesus came into the world and then left this world in the same way. See, he came into this world, and many scholars believe because of just the topography and where they were located, they could have very well even been in a hollowed out cave where they would gather animals to keep them away from the weather, as much as they could have been much like we see portrayed as a wooden shed or inn or something to that effect. And we know by talking about it a couple weeks ago, the manger where Jesus was laid could have very well been a hollowed out or hewn out stone where the animals would have laid. And I couldn't help but think about Jesus being brought into this world, wrapped in these cloths, laid in a manger, much looking like the tomb that he would be sealed, wrapped in cloths after his death, prior to his resurrection. Bethlehem means house of bread. Ideal birthplace for the bread of life, right? John 6:35 tells us. And his birth not only drew Mary and Joseph, his birth drew angels from heaven. Can you imagine witnessing that? And even the angels seeing the Creator born as a man. The Word becoming flesh as this speechless baby. Best scripture commentary, meaning other passages that tell of that, 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." And the best response from our hearts is wonder and worship. 1 Timothy 3:16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." The first announcement of the Messiah's birth was given by an angel to some anonymous shepherds. And why shepherds? Why not priests or scribes? By visiting the shepherds, I believe the angel revealed the grace of God towards all of mankind. Because shepherds were really outcasts in that time and in that place. Their work not only made them ceremonially unclean, but then it kept them away from the temple for weeks at a time so that they could not go through the rituals and become made clean. Luke tells us earlier in chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians in the first chapter, 26 through 29, tells us that God does not call the rich and mighty. He calls the poor and the lowly. The Messiah came to be both the good shepherd and the Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sin of the world. Not only the good shepherd, but the Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sin of the world. And perhaps these shepherds were caring for the flocks that would provide sacrifices for the temple services. I don't know. But I believe it was really fitting that the good news about God's shepherd and lamb be first given to those men. And first one angel appears and gave this the glad announcement, and then a chorus of angels joined him and gave an anthem of praise. And the first time in centuries, the glory of God returned to earth. If brave shepherds were afraid at that point, what they saw and heard, I would bet it was real. I would bet it was not just one of them thinking they saw something, right? What was that noise? Fear not, they're told. It's one of the key themes of the Christmas story. And literally, the angel said, "I announce to you good news, a great joy which shall be to all the people. And the word that he uses means to preach the good news. The word Luke uses often in both his Gospels and in the book of Acts. So even so early in his story of Christ, we see Luke's emphasis in his gospel on this worldwide message. The good news is for everybody, not just a specific people group, not just for the Jews, but for all. And what was the good news? Not that God had sent a soldier or a judge or a reformer, but that he had sent a Savior to meet ultimately our greatest need. It was a message of peace to a world that had known much war. There's a philosopher that's noted for writing, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns more than even for outward peace. See, the Jewish word shalom is peace, right? And it means much more than just a truce in the battles of life. It means well-being. It means health. It means prosperity. It means security. It means soundness. It means completeness. It has to do with more than character. It has to do more with character than circumstances. Life was difficult at that time, just as we may find it here today. Taxes were high, unemployment was high, morals were slipping lower, and the military state was in control. Roman law, Greek philosophy, and even Jewish religion could not meet the needs of men's hearts. And then God sent his son. The angels praised God at creation, and now they praised him at the beginning of a new creation. The whole purpose of the plan of salvation is glory to God. Our purpose in this place, on this earth, is to bring glory to God. God doesn't need us. He longs for us. He loves us. He wants us. But there's nothing I can do but glorify him. God's glory had dwelt in the tabernacle and in the temple, but it departed because of the nation's sin, and now God's glory was returning to earth in the person of his son. That lowly manger was a holy of holies because Jesus was there. It drew the angels that his birth, we saw in our passage, drew the shepherds from the fields. Depending upon your translation, it says even unto Bethlehem. They're even going to suggest that these men were located some distance away. They weren't there in the town. They were going to go to Bethlehem, but they were willing to make the trip in order to see what the angels had proclaimed. There had to have been a lot more to that. Anybody that raises animals or have even children, you don't just, hey, I'm going to Bethlehem. I mean, they had to find someone to watch their flock and all these different things. But they took off and they went quickly. And the verb in Luke 2:16 means found after a search. And the shepherds knew what to look for, a newborn baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, and they found him. They worshiped him and marveled at God's grace and goodness and the miracle he had brought for them. Ultimately, these shepherds are good examples for us to imitate today. They receive by faith this message God sent them, and then they responded with obedience. They understood and received this message, and then they acted. They responded. And after finding the baby, they reported the good news to others, glorifying and praising God. They took the place of the angels, really. And then they humbly returned to their duties. New men, back to their job as shepherds watching over the flocks. They were telling others, Scripture tells us, about the Savior. Telling others about the Savior is an obligation as well as a great privilege. And we, who are believers, should do the same. The Christmas season is a time of the year that brings to the forefront of everybody's mind, believer or not, these kind of classic Christian virtues. So think a minute. During this season, regardless of where you are, what you believe in, what you don't believe in, for most, the Christmas season sparks thoughts and even acts of kindness, of generosity. The guy playing the electric violin in front of Hobby Lobby and Vincennes, you feel compelled because of his true talent of going and maybe dropping some money in the box he has out. This love, a selflessness, a patience, maybe a joy, are largely celebrated by our culture. And there's this very thin space on around December where the virtues of heaven are manifested in our everyday life. I'm a big, and I don't know why, maybe I just grew up listening to it, but I'm a big Christmas music, like, person. I'm the guy, November hits, you're like, yeah, let's put Christmas music on. So I know, Danny's shaking his head. Mary Teresa and I get along very well in that aspect. Like, I'm even doing things around the house. I've gotten Christmas music on. I don't know. But if you've listened to it, and it's been going on and on and on and on, but even the words, and I'm more of a classic Christmas, you know, Bing Crosby, and it's kind of some of the, you know, some of just some more what I would consider classic Christmas. But just the words, and them talking about the Savior coming and saving, and just what seems to just be a normal, catchy Christmas song, if you look at the words even then. And there's in 2018, they reanimated Dr. Seuss's The Grinch. And there's a point in that where the carolers of Whoville are singing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And this is a movie. It's about Christmas, but nothing Christ-related. It's about Santa Claus or presents and the Grinch wanting to squash there because they're going to be too loud, which I relate to. But it may just seem like another Christmas song, but when you look at the words, these fictional world of animated characters sing, "Remember Christ, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power." There's powerful Christian doctrine presented in a movie that obviously has nothing to do with Jesus. And this unconscious presentation of the gospel is sung by the world during the Christmas season. God rest ye merry children. The angel who appeared to the shepherds said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The nativity story reveals the universal truth of the gospel, not just for the first century Palestine, but the entire world. When Jesus came into the world scene, it changed everything. And the good news of Jesus and the virtues of the kingdom of God are shown in Christmas for the entire world. So here's where I landed after kind of looking at all of this. What if every day was Christmas? Not in the sense of giving gifts and singing carols year-round and living in this utopian winter wonderland, kind of. Christmas season brings about these virtues. And what if we only show those virtues during the Christmas season like the rest of the world? What if Christians, what if believers, Christ followers, only show those virtues when it strikes us in December? Because I can tell you now, everything at Walmart's on the 50% aisle. And they're loading, and I've kind of watched it enough. I think the cycle now is everything is Rubbermaids so that you can organize all of your junk. Like when you go to Walmart, see if I'm right, there's going to be where stuff was, now it's Rubbermaids lining the aisle so that you can pack all your stuff and organize it and see, you know, because you're like, where are we going to put all this stuff? I got to sell all this stuff because I bought all this stuff, right? Or take it to St. Vincent. But we should show patience, generosity, kindness, love, all these things, right? Throughout the year. Not just in a season. We should emphasize to the world is watching. Our neighbors are watching. People around us are watching, whether we understand work or school or wherever we find ourselves. We don't realize that. But more than any government video feed, you're being watched more than those that are around us. So we have opportunity to emphasize and live purposefully in those things throughout the entire year, not just in a season. And so as I went through that, that's what struck me. Is January's coming, and that's a good thing. Get 20 and 21 behind us. Let's see what, we may not want to rush into 22. I don't know what's coming. But the world is checked Christmas off its list. And now we're planning New Year's Eve or spring or when do the kids go back to school? So that's my challenge. As we wrap up this signs of Christmas and talking about the star and the gifts that were given, the virgin birth, the manger, and talking about just the season today, that's my challenge. That we would live in a Christmas season year-round. And that we would ultimately be light. If you read that in Matthew, Simeon is sharing his song when he sees, he said, you will be light unto darkness. We have opportunity every day to be light unto darkness. We can't just check that at the door and check that off our list. We're called as followers, just like the shepherds, to understand the assignment and then move. And so that's my challenge to you going into this new year. We're going to start let's take a time for communion. Heavenly, if you would pray with me. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for just your word. We thank you for maybe just a new perspective on verses that we've read throughout this season. But God, I pray that we would be salt and light. That we would be light in a ever darkened place. That as we are being watched, that we would be good stewards of the faith that's been given to us. So God, be with each and every one of us as we go out of this place. You know our struggles. You know where we excel. You know where we fall short. God, you've given us gifts and talents. And God, I would just pray that you would just reinforce us, that you would give us boldness in this new season, and that we would step out confidently knowing that you are along with us. If ever we've ever realized it, to know that you are with us. And we love you, and we pray these things in your Son's name.